Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, in my mouth, in my mouth, in my mouth, in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection. Praise God. Where he's placed, God has placed us together, glory to God, to pray, to intercede, to preach, to teach, to reach in the name of Jesus. We give glory and honor because this is the day that the Lord has made. We've made our choice, I pray you have, to let God be God. Hallelujah, him be glorified in, because this is the time that, like never before, we need to worship him. We need to be steadfast. We need to have that word in us like never before. Because the size of the time, glory to God, he is on the scene. But it's, glory to God, been said many times, but people act like they don't believe it. But it's like never before. We got to get anchored in the Lord. And we cannot, glory to God, be switching in and out off the path, glory to God, of straight and narrow, hallelujah, on Love Boulevard, jumping off on Hollywood Boulevard. We got to be in a place like never before. We choose, glory to God, to serve him and him only in the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord. For those that have joined us, praise God, we know it's still early yet and some have not come on the line, but we thank God for our speaker on the line ready to go. Praise the Lord and thank God for Mother Alexander, which we'll have her to start our prayer for tonight. But we give God praise and glory because truly this is a time like never before as we come together as believers to stand on the word, stand on the promise, no inconsequencies, no glory to God. Of traps of the enemy snared and plotting us, planning, and get us caught up in the fact of ism and schisms and all that. Glory to God. We got to get to a point that we recognize the enemy and put him to flight so we can be on one accord to be a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. Because it's not the fight against flesh and blood. It's the spiritual wickedness and principalities and all kinds of strongholds that need to be pulled down and cursed and canceled and bound up, that we may be a people that will stand on God's word and do what he's called us to do in these last days. We thank God for those that are crying loud, sparing not, and telling God's people their transgression, and also reaching out, glory to God, for the lost so they can come in. And it may cost us something, but glory to God, it won't cost us more than it was for Jesus. Hallelujah. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We bless the Lord for this hour and this time that we can come together on the second and fourth Sunday for the word to come forth. And we have a dynamic speaker, not for exalting flesh. We have a woman of God that preach and teach, and she's out there to reach, glory to God, a woman that's already been blood washed and sanctified. Sound like I'm introducing her now already, but praise God, some of you already have heard, praise the Lord, this voice from Zion. We pray God continue to bless and use her for his glory. But at this time, praise the Lord, for those that are already on the line, we pray for those that are coming on. Hallelujah. We also know there's only just a couple of minutes after the hour, but we got to continue to let this train keep rolling, and we're praying that the woman of God recognize the fact that she has liberty to let the Lord use her. Praise God. And I might need to wait a couple more minutes because just in case, because the Lord can bless, and she, glory to God, preach with the power and the anointing and the authority that God has given her. Praise the Lord. And we never know sometimes to stop on the dime with such powerful anointing and God's blessing. When God's finished, she's finished. And then other times, glory to God, it may be a little bit of length. So just in case, we're going to give the others a couple of minutes so they won't miss this train, this plane, or this Concorde. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. So we praise the Lord for all that he's done and what he's doing at this hour. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give it another minute. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I pray it don't be just a song or just a word said in the atmosphere, but that we will get to a place, and I pray that I will continually have that desire to fulfill that word that says, I will bless the Lord at all times in his praise, that we want to be a place that we will be in to glorify and magnify the Lord. Amen. Without no hesitation or reservation. Praise the Lord. Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Have on the whole armor of God, and know that, glory to God, is imperative that we make sure that we have our belt, glory to God, the truth, glory to God, buckle in the name of Jesus with all these parts. Amen. Now we're going to go ahead and receive none other than our evangelist, Mother Alexander. Glory to God. We'll go ahead and give us our prayer for tonight. Then we're going to prepare to introduce the speaker, and we're going to move forward and allow the Spirit of the Lord to have free reign. Hallelujah. You don't have no cap on time, because you're the only speaker for tonight. And as God bless and use your gift to God's glory. So soon as Mother Alexander pray, I'll say a few words of introduction, which you really don't need one, because the Holy Spirit will introduce her. For those that have not heard of the speaker for our night, none other than Pastor Mitchell, Charlotte Mitchell, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Praise the Lord. So in the meantime, we'll give Mother the space for her to go ahead and pray, and then I'll do introduction. Amen. Bless God.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord, in a sound mind and a healthy body, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. According to the word, Lord, you said in Philippians 4:4-5, rejoice in the Lord always. And that means no matter what we see going on and hurt, rejoice in the Lord. Lord, I thank you for tonight, Lord God. I thank you for using the pastor tonight to bring that word, Lord God. Father, you said in your word, Lord, that if we pray, and Lord, we come tonight praying that your glory shine on us tonight, Lord God. Use the mighty woman of God to bring everything that we need, Lord God. Because, Heavenly Father, your word tells us, Lord, if we pray, nothing is too hard to be done. If we pray. So, Lord, we thanking you for sending out to us tonight on the line. That, Lord, let your will be done tonight, Lord God. Use our mightily, Lord Jesus. For, Father, your promises tell us, Lord God, if we pray. So we know prayer is the key for everything. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending this sister on the line to us tonight to bring the word, Lord God. For, Lord, you are the only way for us. There is no other way. And, Lord, we want to thank you tonight, Lord God, that tonight we hear from heaven, Lord God. Let your will be done in every area of our life, Lord God. Help us to continue to stand strong in the name of Jesus, knowing that everything we need is in that name. Because you promise in your word, Lord, you said, if we pray. And, Lord, we come tonight, Lord God, thanking you, Lord, for the blessing that you bestow upon each and every one of us that hear the word tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing for us, Lord God, because what you've done for us, no one else can do. And, Lord, we just want to thank you and give you glory and praise. Continue to bless the sister, Lord God. Keep our Lord, strengthen our Lord God. Let us stand firm and bring your word completely, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Hello? I don't think my phone cut off.
Praise the Lord. We bless the Lord for the woman of God that will speak tonight, the apostle. Glory to God that the Lord bless Prophet Pastor Mitchell, that she's already been blood washed and prepared. Glory to God and sought the face of the Lord for the word tonight. And we just want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. When she's genuine about the things of God, she just don't preach. Glory to God, just to tickle ears. She preached the truth. And glory to God, we thank God for the giftings that's in her. We thank God for the spirit of compassion that she has. And the spirit is compassion carriers, if I'm not mistaken, the name of the ministry. And we thank you, Lord God, that she exemplified that in her walk. And I thank God, glory, for her love for God and the love for God's people and the spirit of humility that's in her. And so at this time, without further ado, we're asking the Lord to bless. And when we come before sharing the word on this line, we thank God for people that will come that are genuine about the things of God. They live what they speak. And glory to God, so they have a life, glory to God, that's pleasing to God's sight. So when we come together to exalt the Lord. So I thank God for people, glory to God, like this woman of God that's standing on the word of God and trying to live a life that's being transparent also. So at this time, I want to introduce some, glory to God, and present to others none other than a blood-washed vessel, anointed of God, Pastor Charlotte Mitchell out of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my sister, for always being such a blessing, and it's always good to gather with you all. I am elated to be here tonight, and I just pray, Father, I pray as I decrease and your spirit increase, speak through my vessel in Jesus' name. Tonight, I remember the last time I was here, we talked about Hannah. And I say, guys, I got to share some things about Hannah. So tonight we're going to talk about Hannah. So if you would, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to talk about Hannah tonight. And I'm going to begin reading from the very first scripture, first chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there was a certain man, a Ramathan, Zotham, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joraham, and the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, and the son of Zuth and Ephrathite. 2, and he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Some people call it Peninnah, but I like Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his, before I continue reading on too, I got to let you know there are some things that are culturally so, and in the scriptures we read it, we'll see that that was popular in the culture. It doesn't mean that it was ever God's will for man. I'm talking about polygamy, okay, this two wife thing. Okay, so verse 3, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, which is Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and her daughters their portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Although Hannah didn't have children, he gave her a lot more. He gave her double. For he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. I want you to keep that in mind. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, but to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, catch that, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. That was Peninnah just messing with her and taunting her. Therefore she wept, Hannah wept, and she did not eat. Verse 8, and then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? Whew, check that out. I want you to put a little pause there, a little exclamation point, a little whatever, you put a little asterisk right there. Verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but would give unto thine handmaid man a child, a man child, then I would give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and she spake, she was crying out to the Lord with such a strength, she was crying in such bitterness and had been so much pain. She was moving her lips, but words weren't coming out, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Mark that. And then Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou had asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Now take note of that, because earlier she never ate. And her countenance was no more sad. And then they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. Now, y'all know in the Bible when they talk about a man knowing his wife, y'all know what that means. And the Lord remembered her. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And now we're going to stop there on verse 20. So what I want to talk about today is, we all know and we've heard and we've experienced prayers of petition. Now, we know when we talk about prayers, there are many kinds of prayers. But we know one thing we understand about a prayer of petition is a prayer of petition usually comes behind a problem. Because before you, for you to make a prayer of petition, there's a problem. So today we're going to talk about the pattern that produced the problem that caused her to petition God. Come on in here. And when she started off, she didn't start off with a problem. She didn't come to God and start off with our problems. She didn't start or come to God and deal with him with her pattern. She came with him and she petitioned him and she called him the Lord of hosts, his military name. See, Hannah, we all see and we read just now in the scripture, Hannah didn't have a child. And so we know her problem in the situation because back in those days, to be infertile, it meant a lot of people took it as, that means you did something wrong, that you sinned, or there's something wrong in your life. A woman that couldn't, who couldn't bear a child, it was like, well, something was wrong with her. So she was dealing with inner turmoil. Could you imagine? Not only is she dealing with the fact that she's barren, but she's also dealing with the fact that the Lord is the one that closed up her womb. And then on top of it all off, she's got she's dealing with Penina, who's constantly taunting her about it. Now, one thing we know when something becomes a problem, usually there's a pattern that sets up the problem. The first time something happened, we look at it, we say, well, you know, okay, yeah, that happened. We see it wasn't cool or whatever. But then when there's a pattern of that thing, that's when it becomes a problem. And the Bible tells us, scripture tells us every year, her husband Elkanah would go. And every year she knows she had, imagine that, y'all. Every year she knows she had to go and she was going to be tormented and she was going to have to be taunted by the fact that she was barren. That's why the Bible scripture tells us that she didn't eat. And every year she had to go through that. So that pattern within itself presented a problem. So when there's a problem, we know that every petition is a faithful attempt to overcome a problem. You better believe it. Hannah was barren, but Hannah wasn't the only one that was barren. So was Rachel and Sarah and Rebecca and et cetera. There's a few others we know in the scripture that was barren. So we know when that happens, it creates, when a woman goes through that, it creates an environment of internal and external shame that she has, which is sometimes magnified by the notion that motherhood itself is seen as the ultimate symbol of blessing. So that means if motherhood is a symbol of blessing, imagine how she felt accursed or how she felt like something was wrong with her. You understand? And that's why in Deuteronomy 7, it tells us one of the promised blessings of the obedience is faithfulness. So when you wasn't able to have children, they thinking, you haven't been faithful. You've done something wrong, you know. You've been disobedient. So could you imagine the inner
chaos of not feeling like you're enough, not feeling like you're able to produce, not feeling having people walking around looking at you with the assumption of disobedience. This is what she was going through. This is what Hannah was dealing with over and over again. And so this lets us know when we look at verse 6, it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore. So, you know, Penina was constantly, oh, look at you, you're not having any children, you know. And she was throwing that in her face and dealing with that. So you could imagine what she was going through. So this lets us know that the Lord closed her womb too. So it wasn't that, you know, it's one thing to be feeling like, okay, I don't feel like I'm enough and some things, you know, is not going right. It's something else when you realize it's the Lord who closed her womb. And so we have to recognize and realize that the Lord is sovereign. The Lord allowed the infertility, knowing, you say, well, how could God allow? He allows some things in our lives that may be painful. The Lord allowed that infertility, knowing it hurts. Because some people, where we get it wrong, is some of us define God by our circumstances and some by the word of God. And so we can't allow something that may be allowed or something that happened in our life to define who God is. We have to go who God is according to the word, not by our circumstances. So if God allows bad things, he must not be good, some people feel. And we know that's not true. So the way we avoid this mindset is by understanding that our circumstances are not authority. Your circumstance is not authority. So we got to worship God, and you know, we got to worship God regardless. So we can't change like the wind. We can't hope him. We can't hokey poke him in and out, up and down. We must be constant with God, knowing that he said weapons may be formed, but they will not prosper. So we got to know that there's a throne of grace that's available when we have a need. And we're going to see it, and we saw it right here as we read it, and we're going to go through it a little bit more. God closed Hannah's womb. Now, I want to give you a food for thought. Perhaps maybe there was a reason why God allowed Hannah's womb to be closed. And when you think about it, I believe with everything in me that perhaps God wanted to birth something in her heart before he birthed something in her womb. Come on in here. Because when it was all said and done, what happened with Hannah was, guess what? Hannah thought she needed a son, but she really needed the son. Come on in here. And he filled up and gave her a whole lot of him, a whole lot of God. So when we look at it, there was a problem. There's the pattern. Now, when we looked at the pattern year after year, Hannah consistently went to Shiloh, and Penina used it as an opportunity to tease Hannah. And imagine going to the place you worship. I want you to go here with me. Imagine going to the place you go to worship. And that place you go to worship becomes a reminder of the thing that's been withheld from your life. Come on in here. I want you to think about it. If you don't have children, everywhere you go, you go to church and you see pregnant ladies all around you. You don't have a husband, you go to church and you're single, you see married couples all around. Imagine going to the place of worship being a reminder of the thing that's been withheld from you all of your life. That's food for thought, huh? Now, I want to say, imagine the emotion of chaos this Hannah in. Well, she loved her husband. She was loved by her husband. The Bible says Elkanah loved her, and even though she didn't have those children, he still gave her a double portion because he wanted to know, girl, I love you, you know? And so imagine being loved and loved and loved by your husband, but yet teased by Penina. So you got emotional chaos going on the inside of you. Imagine what she was going through in that situation and circumstance. Well, you got... Oh, I'm not going to go there yet. We're going to talk about that a little later. So you see, in that particular place, we see even in John 11 where Lazarus, and remember when the Bible said how Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters? And although Jesus loved Lazarus and the sisters and friends, they all reached out to Jesus because Lazarus was dying. And he heard about Lazarus, and he stayed where he was. Once again, things worsened, and then Lazarus died. Because what? Jesus waited. Why did Jesus wait? Another time, did he allow something to happen? Jesus answers their question because they was questioning him and wanting to know, how could you? Where are you? You're our friend. You're our Savior. Where are you? Lazarus died. And Jesus answered their question. He said, it is for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified. And so it is with Lazarus. So it is with Hannah. And so it is with Hannah. So it is with you. So what if God didn't deliver you in a certain season because he had glory in his mind? What if God stayed so that the circumstances got so bad that it was impossible to fix without him because he had glory in his mind? See, God is the God of the big picture, and God is challenging us to get a mindset of the big picture, Now, I know living in this world, in this earth, a lot of times when you're looking across from you, it's called parallel. The people on this earth, everything around us, if we look straight out to the left, to the right, you know, that's all parallel. In front of you, behind you, to the right, and to the left, that's all parallel. And sometimes when you're living down here in this parallel situation, you could be limited in your mindset. But God said, I need you to come higher. That's why he said you're seated in heavenly places, because I need you to be able to come up higher where I am so you can have my perspective, my perception, my view. And so then you can look down at yourself in your body in this situation and deal with it from a heavenly place. That's what God desires us to do. God wants the glory, and he wants us to keep the big picture in mind. So the truth of the matter is some of us are so capable, we're so smart, we're so intuitive, we're so resourceful that God sometimes had to give us problems that we can't fix so that we can rely, depend on him, and humble ourselves. Sometimes God has to put us in a position that we would know him and that we would come to a place of humility. See, if you could overcome anything, you wouldn't need him. You see, if you could do it all and you could do it all, you wouldn't need him. So what if God is more committed? This is a question. What if God is more committed to your sanctification than your comfort? That may be a hard pill to swallow, but he's setting the stage for his glory to be seen in you and through you. Now, that was hard. We talked about the pattern of what Hannah went through every year, knowing that she's going to be teased on her way there. When she gets there, the Bible says she didn't even eat. She was just in torment. And Hannah hasn't eaten. And she goes to the temple. And this time, you know what? Hannah gets sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's what God's waiting for in our lives. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, we all probably remember a time when we got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or we may be in that phase of stage nine, but we get to that place where enough is enough, and we've had enough. So she's had enough. And when she gets enough, you know what Hannah does? She gets up and she goes to the temple. And we got to follow Hannah's decision to bring it to the altar, go to the temple. She didn't go and try to soothe herself in the flesh. She didn't run the porn. She didn't go to pornography. She didn't go chew on some edibles. She didn't drink alcohol. She didn't smoke a blunt. She didn't do any of those. She didn't use any of those ways to cope with her suffering. She went to the temple. She didn't try to sting and numb the pain and all the other stuff we say. She doesn't try to move herself out of the feeling of suffering. She went to the temple. So see the emotions of the text. You got to see the emotions of the text. It let us know she was deeply distressed. She wept bitterly. She was troubled in spirit. She poured out her soul. She was in great anxiety and vexation. But she took, even in that emotional state, she took it all to the temple. That's an example for us. Now, some say emotions are sometimes called the language of the soul, and I believe that. And when we look in the book of Psalms, it's the biggest book of the Bible, because God wants us to be honest about our feelings and our emotions. See, our problems are too big and our feelings are too strong to enter into the presence of God with anything less than honesty. By bringing her honesty and her emotions to Jesus, she's pouring out her whole self to God. And just that she did is what he wants from us. Hannah doesn't begin her prayer with a problem. She doesn't begin her prayer with a problem. She starts her petition by calling him Lord of Hosts, his military name, and God is sovereign. So we have to address God. We have to use his name according to our need, Savior, Father, Lord of Hosts. Hannah knew that her closed womb, and she knew that her womb was closed by the Lord. And she knew if he closed it, he could be the one to open it to. Come on in here. Recognizing that he's authority. All kingdoms are under his kingdom. All authorities are under his authority. So whatever it is, even if God has done it or God has allowed, God can always bring change. And if he chose not to open it, she has to believe that he can give her the joy in the midst of it all. And it's the same with us. Whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that you want, you got to know that guess what? God's going to give it to you in his time. And if you don't get it, and if you haven't gotten it, he'll still give you the joy in the midst of it, in the meantime and in between time. See, God created the body so he could heal the body, so he can heal the body. We say God is a God of restoration. Jesus was the master carpenter. Not only can he build, he can rebuild. Not only does he store, he restores. So what we have to realize is we follow Hannah's suit. Hannah prayed for that son. Then she said, when you give it to him, I'm going to give it back to you. That was powerful, too, because we must realize that nothing we have is ours to keep. See, she cast a burden on the Lord, and her spirit was relieved of its load. amazing it is to see it, that your spirit can be relieved by just being honest with the Lord. Prayer and petition is more than just asking for what you want and getting what you want. It's communion with our living Father. It's placing yourself in a position to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what has happened. Before your rest or your peace comes, your request has to be made known. Sometimes we think we need a son when really we need the son. Some of the things that we're desiring, we really need God. Hannah thought she needed a son too, but she really needed the son. She needed healing. She needed freedom. She needed a relief from the pain, the bitterness, all of the shame, all of that. She needed emotional healing, inner healing. Whew, she really wanted Samuel. She really needed God. But she thought she needed the son. But she really wanted the son. She really needed God. And what they did was fill her with more of himself. God said, okay, I'm going to give you more of me. And when you look at it and you go on to read further on, you're going to find, if you continue to read, that son, when she gave him back, that was like giving her first fruit, because God gave her more children. God is awesome. So it sounds so easy, but why is addiction so high just to bring it to the temple? Why is adultery so high? Why is pornography so high? Because we're not dealing with our needs in the temple. We got to bring it to the altar, bring it to the temple. We're not here sitting just because we're unsatisfied. We're not just sinning because we're unsatisfied. We're sinning because we're thirsty, but yet we don't go to the living God who has all the water we need. Maybe because we want control, or we don't want to be dependent, or we need to follow Hannah's footsteps, though. We have to be so desperate enough for the temple and the altar. You know, maybe you think God is like your father. He doesn't want to hear you. Or maybe it's arrogant because, you know, you got shame. And maybe you're so capable and you feel like you don't want to have, you're going to have to back up to get to God. Whatever it is, whatever extreme it is that you believe in, you got to get to God. This may be why you haven't gotten what it is that you want. Hannah left with a different countenance. The Bible tells us as soon as when he recognized that, when King Eli realized that, he granted her, and then she said, the Bible said, and she left with a different countenance. She left with a different countenance. The sadness was gone because that she had been moved in the spirit and in the presence and the power of God. And she didn't wait till it manifested. She shouted and she was excited then. The Bible said that she went on to begin to worship and she ate. Woo! See, her prayer hadn't been answered yet. But after she poured her soul to God, she goes home and she worshiped. And the Bible says she went home and she ate. I believe that before she got what she wanted, her heart was renewed in God. And that's what she needed. And it's amazing seeing a burden being lifted off to one just by being honest with God about what you need. What I want to say to you tonight, be honest with the Lord about what it is that you need. Let him raise and lift the burdens off your heart. Know that a prayer petition is so much more than just getting what you want. So many people think it's just going to God, getting what you want. Remember, every time we meet with God in prayer, it's communion with God. It's placing yourself in a position to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Before the peace can come, your request has to be made known. So you got to remember that. I want to bring and highlight one other thing before we go. I want to say this to recognize that Hannah didn't have a child. She had a problem. She had a petition. She was barren. But at the same time, Hannah continued to move in God. She continued to move. She didn't allow that to stop her. She didn't allow it to break her. When it was at a point when it got too heavy for her, guess what she did? She went and gave it to the Lord. This part I want to bring out about Elkanah, y'all. Y'all know I got to bring out this part. Elkanah told Hannah, Hannah, why are you crying? Aren't I better than 10 children? The nerves of him, the arrogance of him, and the what? Insensitivity. And some of us can relate to having a man that's insensitive to a woman's needs. Baby, you can be all that in a bag of chips, and I love you, honey, but it doesn't mean that you can replace 10 babies. So he didn't mean any harm. He loved her. But once again, he was insensitive. Now, I want to talk about a wounded woman right now, a wounded woman who's already dealt with the pain and the shame of whatever it is that's happened, the stigma in life. And then you marry a man, and that man is insensitive to your needs. And then you go to the church. Come on in here. Y'all got to stay with me. You go to the church, and your pastor is insensitive to your needs. He thought you was drunk. Lord. She said, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm crying out. Have you ever been misunderstood? Every time you turn, she'll follow Hannah's lead. Hannah was married to, she had a half-husband because she had to share him. She had what they call a sister wife that made fun and taunted her. Come on in here. But God moved in Hannah's life because Hannah brought it all to the altar. She brought it all to the temple, and God moved in her life. She entrusted God with her disappointment. So what I want to say to you, in closing, know that God is always there, and he's going to empower the powerless. He wants you to embrace your God-appointed agony. What the agony is, embrace that thing so you can get through, go through to get to. Come on in here. And so know that there's purpose in your pain. I call it a gain for pain. And so it's important that you don't just continue, don't hold it in. When situations and circumstances come, you can choose bitter or better. Come on, bring it to the altar. Bring it to the temple. Another thing I want to share is entrust God with your appointed difficulty. Whatever appointed difficulty you have, you got to trust that problem with the Lord. You got to pour your soul out just like Hannah did unto the Lord and bring it to the temple. Bring it to the altar. You got to pray intensely and go to God with it. And whatever gifts that he gives you, know that they are not yours anyway. They're God's. Give that gift back to him, and he'll give you multiplication. She had five children all together. So that first child, Samuel, was the seed that she gave, and he gave her many, many more. Do you understand that? And so that's the God that we serve. That's the kind of God. So the third thing I want to say, enlist your God-appointed adversity. So when adversity comes, don't get enlist that thing to God, you know? She named her son after the miracle she was seeking. She prayed to the Lord, and he got it from his mom. If you know anything about Samuel, we know he didn't get it from Eli, although she brought him back to the church. So for Eli, the Bible tells us that she would go up there and she would visit with him. She talked to Samuel. She told him all about her life, and she prayed for him. And so I know that mothers who may be dealing with a son, come on in here. That'll touch too. She continued to minister to him. She went and she worked with him. And the Bible, we know that it was Samuel who was the one. She didn't raise him, but she was a powerful influence in his life. And she gave him a robe. She would go up there and she would make a robe and she would bring it to him. And she would talk to him and she would explain the circumstances of life to him. And when Samuel became distressed, he cried out to the Lord, much like his mother. Come on in here. So Samuel anointed Saul and David. It was Samuel who did that. And so, no, just that she didn't give in and don't give up. She went to the temple, do the same thing. Don't ever underestimate the power of a godly praying mother. I want to tell that to the mothers. Don't worry about, don't underestimate, don't stop, don't give up, don't give in on your prayers for your children. I'm telling you, there's power. It doesn't matter what hour, what minute, God knows exactly what he's doing. He hears your prayers. I've heard so many testimonies, especially as of late, about people who, the person was in the hospital and they were dying in the hospital. And they were going, they were telling, they were dying, but they had relatives who loved them, who was praying really hard for them. And that person, God would give them, the person said it was falling in darkness. And it was almost like feeling hell. And then they were put back in their body. But it was through what? Hey, it was through because it was somebody, he said, family members were praying hard for them. So look, don't stop praying, mothers. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying and know that God isn't done with them. And the Lord will honor your prayers. Ask for the right motivation in your heart. And know that God is not done writing your story. God wants us to live in him. God is a sovereign God, and we must realize that he's sovereign, and he's working it out in us and through us, and he wants us to bring it all to the temple. He wants us to know, regardless of what it looks like in your life, know that all things are working together for the good, and weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper in your life. We must follow Hannah's example here. When you get the gift, be willing to give it to God. Some people ask for the gift, and when they get it, then they allow the gift to become an idol. Don't do it. Give that gift back unto the Lord. He's a God of multiplicity and multiplication, and he'll multiply. If he sees you being faithful with what he's given you, you're willing to give it back to him. God has called us to become doers. Things are not to hold on to ourselves and squeeze it and hold it for ourselves. It's to allow it to come to us, to pass through us for others. To us to pass through us for others. To come to us to pass through us for others. God bless you. God keep you. Amen.
come to us, to pass through us for others. Glory be unto the Most High God. We thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the vessel. And pray God's strength and encouragement back to her. We're going to... I am having a problem with the line. So open it up for prayer. So, Pastor, would you just start praying for them and as whatever God put on your heart so that I can find if I can get this system to open back up, to open the lines. Whatever comes on your heart right now, appreciate it.
Father, we just thank you for this night. I thank you for all that are here, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are God of healing. I thank you, Lord God, that you are healing us, Lord God, from even childhood wounds, any wounds that stop, block, hinder, and that's holding us up. I don't care what our age is, Lord God, anything that stops us. I thank you, Lord God, that you're revealing unto us blinders and blind spots, areas in our lives that may be stopping us and blocking us and pulling us out. I thank you, Lord God, that we will not have, no longer have pit stops for pettiness, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we will be aware of the time snatcher that's coming to steal and distract us and pull us away and take us, Lord God, off of that place that you desire to be. I thank you that we are accelerating in you, that we recognize the season and dispensation that we're in, and the time and the season right now is evangelical, winning souls. It's all about souls, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you minister into the hearts of those. And I thank you, I come against those, Lord God, that the enemy that tries to come against those right now, that pull them on. They say, I hear some people on the line, they like, I really am going to move forward in you, God. And then he come and hit them with something that's familiar in their life. And it took 5 steps forward and then knocked back 10 steps back. So I bind that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that we're going forward in traction with your spirit, in traction with your love, and traction with your blood. I thank you, Lord God, that we have the bigger picture in our minds. We're not living day to day for all of this stuff and for this life, Lord God. But we know this life is just temporal. I thank you, Father, for moving. I thank you for healing hearts, healing legs. I see somebody leg, right knee. I thank you, Lord God, that you're healing the pain right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that everybody line up with your perfect will. We come against every assignment, every mental assassin that try to wrap his head. Satan trying to wrap and squeeze somebody's head, cause them to have headaches where they can't even look up or raise their head. I bind that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we say, Lucifer, Satan, you cannot have God's people. But we are moving forward in kingdom, for kingdom purpose, kingdom principles, kingdom concepts, kingdom perspectives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
God is awesome. Praise God. I was able to get it back open. Praise the Lord. The prayer line is open for anyone that have a prayer request as God has blessed. And then absolutely I have written on. Does anyone have a prayer request at this hour? Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless God.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Okay, go ahead.
I cannot pass this by. I just want to be all that Jesus wants me to be. That's my desire. I want to please him in every way. That's my desire.
All right, Sister Rachel's request.
I have the strength to keep on with Jesus no matter what. No matter what the adversary says, the report is different. The report is good. I read in the Word where it says, long as it not be found guilty amongst you. I ask God to just keep me in his arms. Keep teaching me. Let me keep eating and digesting his word. So whenever I need it, it's coming up out of the belly. Up out of my belly. That's where it comes from. It don't come from Rachel. Remove Rachel and let the Holy Ghost have its way. I just want prayer for that tonight. Through all that I go through, I just keep on keeping on, keeping my eyes to the hills which come at all my help. Because my help comes from the Lord. And God.
Okay, then. Praise God. Then we'll let Pastor go ahead and pray for you then.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, sister, that God will continue to keep you, continue to move in you and through you, that you be a vessel of honor before him, that anything that comes to hinder, stop, and distract you will go in the mighty name of Jesus, that you can continue to accelerate and be obedient, full obedience to him, not holding back at all, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Well, at this time, then, it's Prophet Bird. Are you on the line?
I am.
Okay, then. We'll find out what the Lord's given you, and then we won't have anyone else that have remarks.
Praise the Lord. I had a very hard time trying to get on. Wouldn't let me on the line, kept cutting me off. And in that instant, I knew that God had a word that he wanted me to hear, and the devil came to block it. Even in what she was, the part that I got, we have to have faith and believe God in the midst of everything else that's going on, because at the end, God will prove himself, and God will bless us according to his purpose and to his will and his timing. That's very important. And just as my sister was saying, you know, Hannah's husband loved her the best he could, but nobody can love us like God, and nobody can complete us but God. I enjoyed that message tonight. We got to just stand fast and be unmovable in every situation of our lives, knowing that God has a plan and purpose. And I'm just going to add this, and I'm going to move on. And the thing that she said about the gifts and everything that he gives us is not necessary for us. It's for the body. It is to be used so that somebody else can be blessed. So God blesses us to be a blessing. I want to thank you, my sister, for that word tonight. And I want to thank you for the part that God allowed me to hear. Satan don't get any glory out of this. So praise God and continue to do exactly what God tells you to do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sister. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, and I appreciate
love
you.
Praise the Lord. We're going to keep it rolling. Now we're taking remarks. So anyone that desire to, praise God. If not, we're going to move right on. Anyone want to give remarks to the powerful word that God has given? And it was something for all of us, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you, Pastor Mitchell. I enjoyed that word, and it just was, it was so much, it was so many sermons in it. And I was just taking a few notes and so many things. The Lord closed her womb. She wasn't under punishment, but she was moving toward God's glory and grace. And you said to set your mind the bigger picture. We sometimes get stuck on ourselves, and I know that's been my issue sometimes. You get so stuck on what's going on with you until you don't think about the bigger picture. But the Lord closed her womb. But he was setting the stage for his glory, setting the stage for his glory. And then you said another thing that jumped out at me. You said, we need to be honest about our situations. When we go to the Father, he already knows. But you go there sniffing and jiving around, but tell him how you feel, how you really feel, and let him work it out, knowing that he's in charge. He knows already. And instead of her, she was looking for a son, a human son, a son of a body, but she needed the Son of God. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I bid you Godspeed and live long and prosper in the kingdom way.
Amen. Thank you, sis.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly we give God glory, honor, and praise for the woman of God that brought such a mighty word. And, yes, ma'am, you have to jump on the train and you got to get on there real quick, fast, and in a hurry. I'm just going to point out a couple of things. Praise the Lord. I thank and praise God. It was a wonderful word. I thought about how Hannah would go up yearly, praise God, and she was praying, and she would be fasting, praise God, and she would, I mean, have a fervent prayer because she wanted that son, praise God, hallelujah, for her husband. But, you know, the adversary, he would fight her every step of the way. And so a lot of times the enemy comes, he try to distract you and do everything he can to keep you from focusing on the promises of God. And you said a lot of times you got to look that there's a pattern, and that pattern can present a problem. I may not be saying it exactly the same way you said it, but something like that. And her problem was that she didn't have a child. And, yes, back in that day, they looked down on the woman that could not give birth to a child. But that was God's doing, because if you look back at the scripture, you'll find there were a lot of, God was doing something in the life of those who were barren. He had that in their life for a reason, because at the appointed time, he would bring forth seed from that woman in Christ Jesus' name. Thank and praise God. So I like to, I keep hearing, trust the process. We have to, you said the circumstance is not the authority, praise God. We have to know what God's authority, his word, praise God, is his authority. So we have to have faith in God and trust his process, trust his word, praise God. Don't be thinking that, oh, well, I'm always be like this. I've got to deal with this. No, the enemy is just throwing it in your face time and time again to try to see if you're going to doubt what God has said. So we, even though it's circumstances, and I like what Mark 11 says, to have faith in God. And then you speak to the situation, to the mountain, praise God. But circumstance, I like that statement you made, circumstance is not the authority. Have faith and trust in God, praise God. Trust his process. Trust what the word of God, and stand on that. If you're asking God for something, if it's according to his divine will, purpose, and plan for your life, trust, hallelujah, that he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And if he don't bring it to pass, guess what? He's worked it out for your good. And we got to be willing to accept what God's will, purpose, and plan is for our life. Praise God. And I like also you mentioned, I could say some other things, but you said we have to see the big picture. In other words, a lot of times when things are going on, and I believe with all my heart, stuff that's going on in the world today is to distract us. It's to get us off focus of what God is doing. We've got to begin to see things from God's perspective. We've got to begin to see the big picture, praise God. And a lot of times we're not seeing things based on the big picture. And I don't want to be distracted to the point that I miss God, miss what he's saying in this hour in Jesus' name. So I thank and praise God, and I pray that he will help us in our trusting what he says, take him at his word, praise God, and see from his perspective, praise God. And you were saying something about what comes to us to pass through us for others, praise God. And I think, and praise God, we want to be in a position where we can be a blessed, a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. So I thank and praise God, woman of God, Minister Mitchell, praise God. Beautiful word. Once again, I'm going to have to go back and listen to some more, because that was quick, fast, and in a hurry. God bless you, woman of God. I appreciate you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You always say that you got to jump on that train fast, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You be rolling that track. Be rolling, baby. When you hear that whistle blowing, you got to jump on it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
Saying the same thing about me sometimes.
Amen.
I told you, we twins.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank God for using you tonight like that, Pastor Michelle. Knowing that, you know, one thing I love about Hannah, and that's what we all supposed to be like, she know what she wanted, and she know who she was praying to. Regardless what the minister, priest said to her, it still didn't stop her from still praying and knowing that she was going to get what she asked God for. That's the way we're supposed to be. When we ask the Lord for something, believe and stand on what you're asking him for, because he's not going to deny his child. Not if you know who you are in Christ, baby. And I'm so thankful that God used you tonight. I enjoy everything you said.
Amen, sis. Amen.
Amen. I enjoyed everything that you said, too, that I heard. I tell you, yeah, you're right. You have to jump on the track and ride it out. And I bless the Lord for you speaking about Hannah. She knew what she wanted, just like the woman of God said, and she went after it. And a lot of times we stop just at the beginning when we get ready to get blessed. We stop because we think we done gone too long. But I thank God for you, woman of God. I enjoyed you every time you speak. I enjoy the word that God has put in you, a powerful word for the people of God. Keep on preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. Pastor Mitchell, I thank God for you. I always enjoy listening to you. I was reading, writing down some notes, and I read this part here where you say the Lord closed Anna's womb, and then it was said that the Lord allowed something to happen. And then I like that part when you started talking about Lazarus, when Lazarus was dead, and how God didn't come right then, but it was just like there is a point in time when God wants to do a thing. But we always want God to do it right then. But God has his appointed time to do the job that he got to do. And then also it said, like, I was thinking on this, well, I don't know if you said this before, but it said, God wants the glory. He wants the glory. And then sometimes God has to put us in a place. Sometimes we in a place, you know, sometimes he has to put us in a place where we just got to just hold on and wait on God. Because sometimes we want things in a hurry. And then Hannah was sick and tired of being sick and tired, but she pulled her heart out to God. And sometimes we think we need, like you said, I like that part. You said sometimes we think we need a son, but she needs the son, which is the son of Jesus. She needs the son. And so before she got what she wanted, she worshiped. She began to worship. And then we have to bring things to the altar, because a lot of time we're going through situations, we need to bring things to the altar and let God work the situation out. So I'll always just thank God for you anyway with the word of God. And just like there is, like I just always said, Hannah knew, she knew in her heart, she knew this. There was a point in time that things were going to happen, even though the minister, he thought that she was they thought that she was drunk. But she knew who she believed in. She knew exactly who she believed in. And that's what we have to be today. We have to know exactly who we believe in, because God had his appointed time to do the things that he needed to do. So I just thank God. And before we get off the line, I would like to say some more stuff to you about a flower that I had. But I'll wait to let somebody else say something before I speak on say about that. Hello?
Praise the Lord. That's the last person?
If you want me to do it now, so help me.
No, I was trying to find that that's the last person that had any remarks.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Minister, I enjoyed every word, encouraging word. No matter what it looks like, what it seems like, we got to keep holding on to faith. Never let go, no matter what, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We see God moving it, and he will do it. And I just ate every bit of that. That was good. Hannah, yes, she wanted a child. She wanted it right then, but she had to wait. There's some things I want, but I got to wait on the Lord. When his time is, he know what time Rachel needs, what she needs, and he'll give it to you. And I'm a living witness. He's a healer. He's just my everything. I just thank God for what you just said, because Hannah, if she had not waited on God, her wounds would not never been opened.
But she waited. She prayed. She stayed before the Lord. She didn't let go of her faith. And you can't throw in the towel. Sometimes you get tired, but you can't throw in the towel. You got to press on. You got to press on in a little. Oh, good God about it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, minister. Thank you so much. God bless you. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm.
Praise the Lord. What I was seeing and hearing too, as the woman of God spoke, she was saying, God is more interested in your sanctification than your comfort. And then after saying the sick and tired of her persistence and pursuing, or after the Lord, even going, like you said, being ridiculed, ostracized, and criticized by the other woman, the other wife of her husband, she go to the church, and then you still get glory to God challenged. And so through it all, thank God for her determination still yet. And then the man of God was able to see also from not only that she let him know that I am not drunk with wine. I'm here pouring out my heart into the Lord. But it is also, I like what you had also said, that she gave her son back to God. But you said nothing belongs to us but glory to God. God, what the woman of God really needed was a healing that she needed. Well, several other things she said she needed. I get to write down all the rest of the notes on that. Kind of kept a couple of notes in between this little girl. Then it says a man in sensitiveness, but then for her husband, but that was already said too, was about, but anyway, we thank God, glory to God. God want us to be honest, as you said, and what if he already knows, and I think somebody else also spoke on that too as well. And it's so imperative that we come before the Lord and trust him and be persistent and presume reservation, hesitation, no drawing back, praise God, no procrastination, but really persistent in pursuit, and that's what she did. And like Pastor Apostle Burton had said, too, sometimes we'll start out, and just because it didn't happen, we give up. But it's God that she was determined, no matter what, for an outcome to bless her. So we got to trust God with our disappointments, as she said, and trust God to and bring those things to the altar and give your gift back to the Lord. And glory that when adversity comes, give it to God. So I bless the Lord with so many other powerful things that you said, and some of them was already brought out, but it was a powerful word, and it was a different revelation to look in some depth on some things concerning Hannah. Just like a man of God and woman of God said, you can go back in this book, you can be a priest on it, teach on it, just read it, but it was even in the same scriptures, and so many other revelations that come out of it. And even just hearing somebody else even bringing out something, it bring you more into in-depth and some things, and then bring you over into a realm, glory to God, of constantly growing in the knowledge and the wisdom of God through his word. This is such a powerful message tonight, and even for his word daily. His word is like a two-edged sword, and it's sharp, and thank God that he uses it to cut away some things in our lives for us to get to that place for his glory to be manifest, like with that gold that got to be burnt. It never burns. It just burns the drop off. It can be melted, but it can never burn up. So we thank God, praise God, for him preparing us more and more for to come out as pure gold and to be able to get to a place to trust him regardless of the challenges that we go through in this world with this adversary down here, the prince of this air. But the God that we serve, we're greater is he on the inside of us than we in the world, but not of the world. But we got to learn how to trust him and cast these cares and walk by faith and obedience to him and submit ourselves and be willing to repent and keep a daily repentant heart every day. But thank God for you, that God continue to bless and encourage you, that you continue to stand and be faithful unto the Lord, and he continues to overshadow you and let the blessings run, like Deuteronomy 28, run you down, take you over, in Jesus' name. Strength and healing to your body as well. Amen. Praise God. I know Mother McCormick got a quick little word that she want to give and stuff like this and stuff like this, and it's still tying in with faith. Just want to tell us a little quick testimony. I'm going to let her have that time since somebody else has came up, we're gonna give space to you to share your remarks, Pastor, as soon as Mother McCormick give us this 2 or 3 minutes of her testimony.
Praise the Lord. Again, Pastor Mitchell, what I want to tell you, okay, my children grandmother passed a while back, the 1st of October. She passed. And they gave me a flower, of one of those lily flowers. And so I had the flower, and I bought it home. Okay, when I got it, when I bought it home, it was fine, but then I got it here and it died. The flower died. I mean, it dripped dead. It was just dead. It was, I mean, it was dead. And I didn't know what to do with it. I called the aunt, the sister. I called her and I asked her, I said, what is going on with my flower? It's dead. She said, it probably needs some water. Okay. I gave the flower some water. It didn't work. That didn't work. I put the flower outside in the sun. That didn't work. I said, okay, I'm bringing the flower back in the house. I bought the flower back in the house, and the flowers were dead. I mean, the flower was, like, dead. I was almost about to throw the flower away or either take it to somebody to see could they work with the flower. But I said, no. I'm gonna put the flower in here in my room because I had it up there inside the door. I said, I'm going to put it in my room. And my son-in-law spoke to me. My son-in-law was telling me, he said, maybe this flower needs some love. Like that there. So I said, well, I don't like flowers in my bedroom. But I put the flower in my bedroom, put it in my bedroom. So that night before I went to bed, the flower was still dripping like dead. I mean, it looked dead. And I went over there and I sit down at that flower. I said, listen here. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I said, I speak to this flower right now in Jesus' name. I said, God, I pray right now that you, Lord God, will make this flower be better in the morning, that it would rise up. It would be better. So I went to bed. I went to sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, the flower had come up, and it was green. It wasn't down dead anymore. It was green. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, that's not all what's wrong with that flower. He said, you need to cut around the edges of it. There's some stuff around it that's hindering that flower. That's why the flower is doing like it is. You need to cut from around the flower. And so I cut from around the flower, and the flower is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. You know, I mean, so will you send her a picture for me, both of those pictures, if you don't mind, to Pastor Mitchell. And I just want to tell you that it was just like, and to me, I was thinking about a person. Sometimes we throw a person away. We don't want to take time with that person more because the person is dying. The person is going through some problems, going through some situations. But if we could just take time and spend time with that person, give that person a word, show love to that person, and that person would grow up. That person would live. I mean, I just had to tell you that. It's just amazing.
That was good. Praise God. That was good.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Woman of God, I want to give this space to you. But first, I want to thank the Lord for you and ask the Lord to bless and touch your body and strengthen you. Thank God for that word, restore the virtue back in you. And we thank God for blessing for you to deliver a word that we can feast by and eat by and grow by as we continue to grow in grace and you continue to be encouraged. And I pray he meet you, not only meet you every need, as he said he will supply it, but as you continue to delight in him, that your desires will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, and bind up every attack of the enemy that will try to come up against you, cancel this assignment, and really cause it to be eradicated in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll give remarks to you.
Okay.
I mean, for you to give remarks.
I got it. This is what came to me when my sister was talking about the flower. Okay. I'm a hairstylist by trade, so. When I was in Louisiana, after I had just gotten saved, and I was still just learning the things of God, I was working in my salon. I was doing a full head sewing weave, you know, where you sew in the weave. It was a cold night, and I was sewing in the lady's hair, and she had a man out in the car. You know how they have the heat on. So while I'm doing her hair, I hear the word carbon monoxide. I need y'all to listen. And so I heard carbon monoxide. When I heard carbon monoxide in my spirit, I asked the lady, could you go check on that man in the car? Because I'm thinking if I hear that might be the man. He's in there with the heater on. And so she came back, and she went out, and she came back. She said, well, he's fine. So then I just continued to do her hair. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I finished. And when I went home, at that time, you know, when the heat comes, when it gets cold and they say you have to blow out your heater, well, we hadn't blown out the heater at my house. Yeah, so we were using the stove and the oven to heat the house. So when I came home that night, I remember unlocking the door and walking in the door, and I passed by my stove, didn't notice anything, and went on to my bedroom. My kitchen is right by the master bed. So then I went to sleep that night. I remember pulling my clothes off, and I was tired, just jumped in the bed. And I remember going to sleep, And I was awakened out of my sleep like something tapped me on my shoulder and said, get up, they got gas on in here. And I remember raising my head up, and I raised my head up out of my sleep, and I turned my head to the left and the right, and I was sniffing. I said, I don't smell nothing. That's just me. That's my personality. I'm talking back to whatever was talking to me. I'm talking back to it. I don't smell nothing. So then I put my head back down on the pillow, and I said, I better get up, you know, because I better get up. So then I got up, y'all, and when from my bed to that stove was the longest walk of my life. And I walked to that stove, and you guys know how when you turn the old-fashioned gas fires on, if you turn it on, sometimes the pilot, you have to slap it or you have to blow some wind, you know, with your hand to get it to come. Well, guess what? I went to my stove, and there was gas, there was fire, but one of them, the fire wasn't on, but all of them was turned on. You get what I'm saying?
Jesus.
So and the oven was on, too. So that's
Jesus.
Why God told me, he said, get up and got gas on. So when I went to that stove and saw that, I turned everything off. And I went back to my room. And I knew that was like, I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that God is so real. And I remember going back. And I laid down in my bed, and I never forget this. Then the first thing hit me, I was like, oh, carbon monoxide. Remember I heard that when I was at the salon, but I thought it was the lady. You know, in the car, but when I heard the carbon monoxide, God was trying to let me know that's what was going on at my house. You get it? But then
Jesus.
By the time I got that, the gas in the car probably had been gone for a while because my mama would work nights, so she left it. She probably turned it on and left it on like that. She
oh,
goes,
my
I'm
Lord.
Since that's 11. So that means I didn't get that to 2-3 o'clock. So by then, the monoxide and the gas, it's all in the house. At what point it was going night, I don't know, but God didn't say so. God said not so. So when I laid back down in the bed, Yes, and when I laid back down in the bed, after turning everything off, I'm like, we're going to be cold in here tonight. I'm turning everything off because I was so, you know, just knowing I had gas. So I laid down in the bed. I'll never forget this. After I laid down, I was going to go back to sleep. Then he continued to instruct me. He said, go raise your window up. Because I wasn't thinking as much carbon outside is still in the house. You see, I'm so tired. And so he said, go raise the window up. And then I go walk, and I go to raise the window up to let it out. And then when I lay it back down that time, and then he said, know that it is I, God, who speaks to you. And I cried like a baby.
I remember crying like a baby.
Yeah, he said, know it is I, God, who speaks to you. Oh, my world. And so the next morning when I woke up, I told my sister, I said, let me tell you what happened last night. I was telling that thing, I guess, and I heard Carmen outside. And I couldn't even tell I was talking. You guys talking about fast. I was so excited. And I never forget that. And so when she was talking about the flower, it brought it back to me how God saved our lives that night when he instructed me about the carbon. He told me carbon monoxide when I was in the salon, but I didn't get the whole message. I just got carbon monoxide. But he said not so. And so he spared my life that night, and he spoke to me and gave me instruction to open the window to let some of the carbon monoxide out.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So just wanted to give you guys that testimony. I felt led to do that. As always, I love fellowshipping with you. I love coming together. I love supping with you. I thank God for you, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you guys again soon.
Amen.
Praise God. We thank God for you, Pastor, and taking the time to deliver such a powerful message. You have something
Amen.
To call Apostle Burton. I thank the Lord for Apostle Burton. Just got out of the hospital. Was it 2 days now from the knee surgery? And she's been looking forward to hearing from you since she had company. So
Amen.
She came on and still yet, I mean, she don't even sound like she's been in the hospital. And then Apostle Crawford Bird that been on an excursion. That's a testimony you have to hear later. And God blessed, and she was able to come. But Pastor Burton, I'm telling you, for her to be coming out of the surgery and still yet being able to say, I want to hear this one, because you've been able to hear whenever you come on.
Amen.
I thank God for all the prayer for you, too, as well. But any Pastor, you have anything else you need to say? I hear your voice, so just asking.
No, I'm good. I just want to let her know I enjoyed every bit that I did here. I appreciate it. It was powerful.
Thank you, Lord. I praise God, too. So, my dear, I praise God. We're going to go ahead and thank the Lord. Glory to God again for what God has done tonight. We will be online tomorrow for for our prayer time, praise God, at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, I pray God's blessings upon you, and you have a sweet rest, blessings, and angels be encamped and blood covering over you. And we'll look forward to greater and mighty things yet to come, and that word just go continue to just bring forth more fruit. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Thank God again for all of those, glory to God, that was on the line. And thank God for Pastor as she progressed, even through the miraculous healing. Thank God for Pastor Bird's sister that got injured over there in Grand Canyon. But God has worked a miracle, glory to God, even from a broken nose and a broken wrist and even from her
my
knee.
Lord.
Still yet been able to still get on that, didn't have to stand out. But still, all the prayers that she still was able to get back on the bus, the plane, make it back home, and still even went
Let
to church.
Go.
So that's miraculous. And thank God for Pastor Bird, too, as well, and been able to sleep, God, even afterwards. I thank God for everyone that we've been praying for and all those prayers that still go over to God on. We got up before the Lord, and also praying, glory to God, for that our mother, Willette's friend, glory to God, I can't remember her name right now, with her heart, with all the fluid and everything else. We're praying, God, for the Lord bless for the one that she did not go to have the heart surgery, but she's, praise God, believing God by faith, and we're standing with her, too, as well. And even the family, well, everyone that we've been praying, so many of them. So in the meantime, keep those things before the Lord and our families and our loved ones and our children, especially at this time and everything that's going on. But we bless God. So at this time, we're going to let Pastor do our remarks. So occasionally, not remarks, I mean, closes out in prayer. We do it occasionally. Praise God. You close us tonight, Pastor Mitchell.
Sure. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We seal, Lord God, this moment in your blood. We thank you for acceleration that we move forward in you for kingdom mindset, kingdom concepts, kingdom precepts, kingdom perspective and perception, Father. I thank you, Lord God, as we continue to go forward, Lord God, being obedient and yielded unto you, bringing souls, millions and millions of souls unto you, Lord God. We thank
yes,
you for
Jesus.
The progress. Thank you for the process. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Keep yes. Brother Black in prayer, too. He said his mouth still hurting from those extractions, and then he had the implants put in 2 weeks from now. Well, probably be a week and a half from now. He's going to have three more done, so just keep him in prayer as well. All right, we love you. Thank God for the power of the anointing. Just flow tonight, and angels be in camp. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Bless you all. Shalom.
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 Yeah.
Shalom. Love you. Love you. Glory to God. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And all that's within me. Bless his holy name. What a mighty God.